One day in the winter of 1985, a group of Tibetan Buddhist monks were deep in meditation, high up in a drafty monastery in the Himalayas in northern India. They weren't wearing very much clothing, and the temperature was near freezing. As they were sitting there, one of their fellow monks came along and draped on each of the monks a sheet that was drenched in ice-cold water. They covered them in the sheet. Now, typically, this would throw the human body into shock immediately. If your body temperature drops as much as 12 degrees Fahrenheit, typically you'll lose consciousness and your vital signs will disappear within minutes. But instead of shivering, the monks began to sweat. And steam started rising up off of those sheets. And within an hour, they were completely dry. Well, their friend, the monk, came around two more times, replaced the dry sheets with another wet one, soaking wet in ice-cold water. And each time, the same thing happened. And those sheets were efficiently dried. The monks had essentially turned their bodies into furnaces and had dried these sopping wet sheets in near-freezing temperatures. Now, I don't know if this is how they went about drying their clothes up there or something. Like, why would you do this, right? So I have no idea what the backstory is, or maybe this was the advanced test for spiritual mastery. But regardless, there was a group of scientists there from Harvard Medical School who were observing and recording the whole thing. And what they were seeing absolutely astounded them. It seemed to be impossible in terms of mental influence. They began studying monks in many different settings, different experiments they conducted, and they found that these monks had the ability to raise their body temperature as much as 17 degrees and reduce their metabolism by as much as 60%. Which is unheard of. To give you an idea, when you go to sleep at night, your metabolism drops maybe 10 to 15%. A very advanced meditator, if they're really good, can maybe lower their metabolism by 17%. They were essentially duplicating what hibernation is. But on this particular day in the Himalayas, those monks had used their bodies to essentially boil freezing water through the power of their minds. That's incredible, isn't it? Why would people do things like that? But anyway, we've all heard stories about the power of the mind. We've heard stories of mind over matter, of miracle healings, people walking on nails or coals without being hurt by it, mothers lifting cars off of toddlers, people using telekinesis to move objects through the power of their mind. We hear these things. And all of them indicate that we have really not yet even begun to grasp the power of our own minds. If we can use our minds for things like what those monks were doing, think how powerful it is when we apply that to what we are most wanting in our own lives. Well, Unity, since its beginning 130 years ago, has always recognized and even emphasized the power of the mind. In fact, one of our fundamental principles in Unity is what we call the law of mind action. It says that we create our reality through our thoughts. We sort of shorten that by saying what we think about, we bring about. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. Actually, we create it inside and it projects on the outside. So made in the image and likeness of the Creator, we too are creators, and we create through our faculty of thought. Well, of course, Jesus demonstrated this in many different ways. You can think about the stories in the scriptures about multiplying the loaves and the fish, about turning water into wine. He even had the chutzpah to stand out side of a tomb where a man had been dead for several days, and to call out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And by golly, Lazarus walked out. So they say. Well, that's just incredible, isn't it? Jesus was applying his spiritual power to a laser-like intention. And we can do the very same thing. When we apply our intention to something very sharply focused on a specific objective, amazing things happen. Well, it used to be that this was simply discussed in spiritual circles. It's kind of a matter of faith, if you will. But now you hear about it in science. In fact, science has taken it even further. So quantum physicists tell us that we not only observe reality, but in a very tangible, scientific way, we create it. I don't know about you, but I find quantum physics just mind-blowing. So the smallest particle of matter is a subatomic particle, and for so long we thought these were actually solid masses of something, but it turns out they're really just like little packets of pulsating energy, just waiting to become one of any many, many, many different possibilities. And what pulls them into a certain potentiality, what actually gives them the energy to take on a certain form, is being observed. Can you believe that? By simply observing it, it takes on a form. Well, this is just so amazing to get our heads around. It raises all sorts of questions, like, are we really here? Is this just all a pulsating mass of energy, and I'm just imagining you all, bringing you all, and you're imagining me, and how does that work? In her groundbreaking book, The Intention Experiment, Lynn McTaggart speaks about this. And she says, thought affects physical reality. A sizable body of research exploring the nature of consciousness carried on for more than 30 years in prestigious scientific institutions around the world, shows that thoughts are capable of affecting everything from the simplest machines to the most complex living beings. She goes on to say, targeting your thoughts, what scientists call intention, appears to produce an energy potent enough to change physical reality. So you see, we are indeed powerful, creative, spiritual beings, as we were just singing about. And the question becomes, and the question before us today, is what do we want to create? What do we want to create for ourselves, for our society, for our world? What is our highest vision and dream and intention? The poet Robert Frost used to say that he would get up in the morning and he said he would make his bed, and while he was doing so, he would make up his mind as to what kind of day he was going to have. Isn't that something? Today we have the opportunity to make up our mind about what kind of year we want to have. We're sort of setting the pace for it. We're setting the intention for it. We'll be looking within and answering certain questions, like what is our highest vision for 2019? Who are we being called to be? How are we being called to live? And we call this setting our intention. Now, an intention is not the same as a resolution. I realize that this time of year, a lot of people are setting their New Year's resolutions. A lot of people are also setting goals. An intention is not a resolution. It is not a goal. I think of an intention as being a desired state of being. You see, it's really more about how we want to be and who we want to be rather than what we want to do. So we may set an intention to be peace, to be more loving, to be more compassionate, healthier, more prosperous. We may set an intention to be kinder. All of this is, we're thinking about in what ways we want to bring forth our Christ self to shine out a little bit more brightly. And so we think about how we want to be, and as we do that, as we set our intention, it's really like saying, this is the direction I want to go. Like kind of, setting our sights on the destination. And as we really connect with that in our hearts, as we really internalize that, it begins to seep into ourselves and our psyche. What we find is almost miraculous that the way is made clear, the path begins to appear. We begin to find our way towards it step by step. And not only that, but we begin to attract into our lives the exact support, resources, connections, ideas, whatever it is, for us to meet our intention. I think this is because as we set our intention and as we bring our emotions into it, as we really connect with it and own it, that we raise our vibration. And as we have a higher vibration, we begin to attract more of that, and we find that incredible synchronicities show up. As I've shared before, this happened most notably for me when in 2006, I decided to leave my home of 27 years in Portland, Oregon, to become a Unity minister. And that meant moving to Kansas City, Missouri. Well, it took me a while to get clear on that intention that I wanted to be a minister, but once I got clear, it just resonated through my entire being. It was like this guiding light. And then the most incredible series of synchronicities, people who knew people in Kansas City and where might I live and who did I need to know, how could I get a job, how could I move my horse, on and on and on. People would say, you're so brave. I'm like, I'm not brave. I'm just in this incredible flow. It was absolutely an amazing experience. Very much like the experience of landing here at Unity Renaissance for me. So there's actually a model that we can use after setting our intention to bring it into manifestation, and it's called the I Am model. Intention plus attention equals manifestation. You see, we set our intention, and then we give it our attention in order to bring it about. So what does it mean to give your intention your attention? Giving it your attention means you hold it in your mind and heart. It means, you know, this is just not a one-day exercise here at Unity Renaissance. You're going to continue to work this, to think about it. Maybe you want to pray about it, meditate on it, journal on it. You might want to put your intention on a little, on your stone or on a card if you prefer, where you can see it every day when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night. You might want to set goals around it. Intention can be the starting place for your goal setting. So, for example, if you say, I want to be more prosperous in 2019, you might want to set a goal of getting out of debt. It's a really great place to start. And oh, by the way, we're going to be offering Financial Peace University here starting in February, and you have a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to do just that. We can also give it our attention by using our imagination. Begin imagining as if. How will it feel when? How will it feel when I am healthier? How will it feel when I am more compassionate? When I'm more connected, more centered? Whatever it is. You see, as you begin to imagine it, you begin to shift on the inside, and what shifts on the inside begins to manifest on the outside. It's an absolutely incredible process. Very powerful. We just have to be willing to use it. Intention plus attention equals manifestation. So today we have the opportunity to take the first step in setting our intention. So we're going to go within in a few minutes. We'll go within, tune in to our own inner guidance, connect with spirit, asking what is our highest vision for ourselves, what are we being called into in 2019. We let that steep a little bit in us, and then we write down on our white stone. Everybody should have received a white stone when you came in today. We write down on that white stone the words, or if it's a new name for ourselves, we put it on that stone. And I love it that it's a stone because it becomes like a touchstone. That is the touchstone that we give our attention to in order to manifest what we are seeking. Makes sense? So let me, before we go into our white stone ceremony, tell you a little bit about it. Some of you may not have heard of it before. It's something we do in Unity once a year at this time of year as we begin a new year. So the white stone ceremony evolved from Revelation 2:17, which begins, Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying. To everyone who conquers, who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. We interpret this symbolically to mean, when we conquer our limiting thoughts and our erroneous beliefs, we receive manna, spiritual resources and nourishment, spiritual substance, in order to live the life we've imagined and to live in the kingdom of God and to be happy. We remove the error thoughts and the blessings begin to pour in. Through this process, we will receive spiritual freedom and unlimited possibilities. And then the verse in Revelation goes on to say, "And I will give a white stone, and on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it." You see, in Jesus' time, white stones were given to prisoners when they were released from prison. It became symbolic of their freedom. They were given this white stone, maybe something like this. They were given this white stone that they could then show to people to indicate that they had indeed been released and that they had paid their debt to society. And as long as they had this stone with them, they were guaranteed their freedom. And on the stone was written a new name as they emerged from their prison into their new life. Well, this has great metaphorical meaning for us. We could even say that as we lay aside our erroneous thoughts, our ideas about our own limitations or what we can or can't do, etc., as we lay all that aside, we're set free. You know, really, we have been imprisoned by our limited thinking. We're set free. We're opened up to more fully express the Christ in us. We might even say that we are born anew. We might even say that we have kind of a new identity or a new name. You know, the Bible is filled with, you ever noticed how sometimes people's names change during the course of the scriptures? One of the most commonly known is that of Saul of Tarsus. So there he was, struck down on the road to Damascus. Incredible symbolic meaning here. Struck down, he was blind for 3 days, which forced him to look within. And when he awakened from that, his name was changed from Saul to Paul. The name Saul means personal will. The name Paul means enlightened will. Do you see the relevance? As we are spirit-led and setting our intention, we are moving from our ego self into our God self, into our highest self, our own transformation. Now, it's interesting to note, and you might appreciate knowing, that this little stone that you were given today actually comes from the Holy Land. You probably were given a little card that tells you a little bit more about that. So these stones are provided by a company called Jerusalem Stone, and they cut them from white stone in Hebron, Israel. So today you have a direct connection to the Holy Land and to history, and we might say to Jesus. And so the idea is that you write your word on your stone and then you keep that with you and you internalize it as you give your attention to it. So let's prepare for our process, shall we? Knowing that we are going to take this spiritual journey together, going a little bit more deeply to identify what Spirit has in mind for us. So I invite you to close your eyes and take a deep breath in. And just let go. Getting very, very comfortable in your seat. And breathe. Breathe in. And breathe out. Continuing to breathe. Noticing your breath, noticing Spirit filling you up with each inhale. And releasing in peace with each exhale. Allow yourself to become totally relaxed and at ease. Just breathe. Giving yourself over to the perfection of this now moment. Appreciating the divine order that has unfolded in your life up to and including now. Consider that you have been brought to this point in preparation for what is next. The universe is unfolding as it should, and so is your life. Breathe deeply once again. The old has passed away. It has served its purpose. Every event, circumstance, relationship, opportunity, possibility, every challenge, every encounter, everything in your life has served a purpose. You are now at a turning point, ready to be released from anything that might bind you. You are ready to let it go, to get out of the way of your good coming forth. You are ready to be set free into the best year of your life. Gently bring your attention to your heart center and feel the warmth and love of spirit residing there. There is a brilliant perfection coming forth in you. Open yourself to it. Listen for guidance. Who are you being called to be? What is quickening in you? What aspect of your divine identity is your soul longing to more fully express? Breathe and let the answers come. What word expresses Spirit's highest intention for you? If Spirit were writing on your white stone today, what would it write? Ask. Ask what would be the most helpful quality, word, or name for you to take into this new year. What is your touchstone for the year? Relax, breathe, stay with it, and listen in the silence. Slowly, very slowly, begin to bring your attention back to the present and to this room. And when you are ready, write on your white stone the quality, word, or name that came to you through this exercise as your intention for the new year.